Welcome. I'm Janet Peters. This is the Accessible Technology Webinar Series. I'm a project coordinator with the Great Lakes ADA Center. The Accessible Technology Webinar Series is sponsored by the Great Lakes ADA Center and the Pacific ADA Center, which are both members of the ADA National Network. The ADA National Network is comprised of 10 regional centers funded by the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research. We're going to do a few logistic things before we get started. Please note that this session is being recorded and will be available to you on the archive site on the Accessible Technology website. The session has real-time captioning available, and you can select Control F8 on your keyboard or from the menu to select that. If you're listening to today's webinar, it is broadcast through your computer, so please be sure your speakers are plugged in and that you control the audio information or the volume with your audio system. If you would like to call in and don't have sound capabilities, or if you have a problem and get logged off in the system with your computer, please know that we do have a phone number to call in, and that is on the screen. That phone number is 712-432-3066 with the passcode of 148937. This is not a toll-free number, so you will incur telephone charges for that. And Blackboard, the system we're using, does have an app, so you are able to use the app to listen to this webinar from your tablet or iPad or Kindle device. As I mentioned, there is closed captioning available. You do control the size of your font and the background color and the text font for your closed captioning, which you can control in that closed captioning window. As mentioned, we are taking chat questions throughout the session, and so your chat will be available. I will be helping our speaker monitor those, but if she doesn't get to one right away, we do have time set aside at the end for a formal question and answer session, and so your question will be answered at that time. If we run out of time completely, we will have technical assistance available for you to follow up with your questions. one last thing before you can customize your view. If you are experiencing technical assistance, this slide will give you some information to do that during the session. Call 877-232-1990. Our speaker is using a video today, so the way that the video works is it is pushed out to your system and will play with your default video player. That means that if you do not have a video player on your system, you won't be able to watch the video, but there is a link within the handout session, so you have access to that video. So once you've watched the video, close that window down and you'll be directed back to the PowerPoint. Again, this video is being pushed out, so we don't have control of what system it uses. It uses your default computer video player. Oops. So we're going to start, and I'm going to turn it over to Virginia. We're very glad to have her with us today. Virginia DeBolt is is our speaker, and she will be doing an introduction to accessible rich internet applications. Virginia is the author of Mastering Integrated HTML and CSS and other books. She is a contributor to Interact with Web Standards, a holistic approach to web design. Virginia has been writing for over 12 years about web design and web education as a web teacher. She is also a presenter at KnowAbilities Access U, InterLab SXSW Interactive, and other venues. She is a digital arts instructor at the University of New Mexico's Continuing Education. I'm pleased at this point to turn it over to Virginia, and let's enjoy the session.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me explain what I want to talk to you about today a little bit. We'll talk about introductory ideas related to ARIA, A-R-I-A, which I will be pronouncing ARIA. It stands for Accessible Rich Internet Applications. We'll see some demonstrations of ARIA roles, and particularly landmark roles. And we'll see how to add landmark roles to your standard HTML pages and to WordPress themes. And then we'll talk a little bit about a few other elements of ARIA in addition to the landmark roles. Basically, that's what I'll be concentrating on. To give you a little background about ARIA, it's part of the Web Accessibility Initiative at the Web Standards Consortium. Sometimes you see it referred to with the WAI for the Web Accessibility Initiative initials as a prefix to ARIA. Sometimes you see WAI ARIA, and sometimes you just see it referred to as ARIA, but it's the same thing. It's a technology that's been around for several years. It works in HTML4 and HTML5 and XHTML. So you don't have to be using HTML5 to be using ARIA. It's a candidate recommendation in W3C, the Web Standards Consortium lingo, which means it's not a recommendation yet, but its status within the W3C doesn't really matter to us as web developers and web front-end developers, because the browsers and assistive devices have all implemented ARIA, at least the landmark roles, and so it's usable now, even though it's not quite through all the process it has to go through at the W3C. The purpose of ARIA is to make web content and web applications more accessible. On the application side of it, it helps with interactive content, and that's more in what programmers would be interested in talking about, and I'm not going to talk about that too much. On the content side of ARIA, it describes navigation techniques that can indicate to you regions on a page or in a document, structures such as menus, and different types of content, and banners, footers, that kind of thing. It helps with navigation, basically. It can identify regions of a page and allows people who are using assistive devices and screen readers to navigate with the keyboard from one region to another. If you have to support an older browser, and sometimes we do, if that browser does not recognize ARIA, it simply ignores it, and it has no ill effect on the way the content renders. So in an older browser, if you have added ARIA roles to a document, they don't cause any harm. They don't cause anything to break. The current major browsers all recognize ARIA. I have a list there of supported devices that currently understand ARIA, including iOS, which is from Apple, Opera Mini, Android, which is the Google device, BlackBerry, Opera, Chrome for Android, Firefox for Android, and Internet Explorer for mobile. The screen readers have implemented ARIA. JAWS and Window Eyes both support, and when it says partially there, there are so many aspects to what the complete specification for ARIA is that partial support doesn't necessarily worry us today, because the things that I'm going to mention to you in particular are completely supported. In particular, the landmark roles are completely supported. JAWS supports it, Firefox, NVDA, the non-visual desktop access screen reader supports ARIA. So it's well supported in both visual browsers and in screen readers, and well understood by the devices that you might be using. In the W3C way of talking about ARIA, they use the word roles. And there are many, many roles. Basically, a role defines what an element is on a page or what it does on a page, or helps to identify something about it that, in particular, what we're talking about today can help with navigation. A few examples. As I mentioned, there are many. There are roles that can be user interface widgets, such as alert boxes or progress bars or timers, things of that sort that are more interactive. Then there are ARIA roles that can be containers for other things, like a container for a radio group or a container for a list box or a container for some type of widget. And then there are roles that describe document structure, like describe articles or images, list items, buttons, other kinds of things that might be on a page. Now, several times I've mentioned the landmark roles, and these are listed here, and these are what we're going to look at in a lot more detail. And each of these is a link. So when the talk is finished, and you, if you are interested in going back through this set of slides, each of these links here that you see in this list of landmark roles link to information on the W3C site that will give you a lot more information about each of these roles. But the landmark roles are application, banner, complementary, content info, form, main, navigation, and search. A screen reader uses keyboard commands to navigate from one landmark area to another on a page. So let's talk a little bit about each one. An application landmark, which I have not seen used very much. I searched the web to try to find examples of application landmarks and could very seldom found it in use. But it's a region of a page that's declared as an application as opposed to a document. And assistive devices have a different method of navigating an application. So when something is assigned a landmark role as an application, all the normal navigation controls are turned off, and a screen reader goes into a different mode. A banner landmark role identifies the site identity. If you think of it as the header at the top of a page, where you would see a logo or a search box or the name of the site. A banner can only be used once per page. There can only be one site identity element at the beginning of a page. You can use some of the landmark roles more often, but a banner can only be used once. There's a landmark rule called complementary, which defines material that's supporting information. It's relevant to the main topic, but it's not the main content on a page. And you can use this many times on a page to mark that type of information. If you're familiar with HTML5, you know there's a new element called aside, and the definition of it is kind of similar to what the definition of complementary material is in terms of ARIA landmark roles. In other words, material that's related to the page, but not necessarily the main content on a page. So, for example, if you were looking at a portal page for a city, perhaps, there might be complementary information that showed like weather or what was going on at the zoo that day that might not be part of the main content, but it would be complementary information that supported or was relevant to the main content. The next landmark role is content info. And that defines a section of the page that gives you information about the parent document. And it's usually a footer. And it's usually the footer at the bottom of a page. And it can only be used once on a page. Now, the reason I say that is because in HTML5, there can be more than one footer on a page. An article can have a footer, a section can have a footer. But when you think of the footer at the bottom of an HTML document that defines information about the entire document, that's what content info defines. So complementary can be used more than once. Content info is only used once. There's a landmark role for a form, and it's to indicate the entire form. So you would put the landmark role on the object or the element that contains the whole form. And you can use it more than once per page, depending on how many forms you need. You might have a search form on every page and other types of forms as well. The main landmark role is to indicate the main content of a page, and it corresponds with a new HTML5 element called main, which was just put into HTML5 two or three months ago. When they first came out with HTML5, they didn't have an element called main, but they do now. And it corresponds to this concept of where the main content of a page goes. I don't know if you recall some years back when we were all putting skip links at the top of our HTML pages that would allow someone who was using a screen reader to skip to the main content or to skip to the main navigation. And that was something that visible that had to be added to a page. So the main role is a way for a screen reader now to skip to the main content of a document with a keyboard command, or without having to have those skip links visible on the page or somehow hidden and then become visible. So it's replacing something that was kind of a clunky way of helping people with screen readers that we were using before. Navigation, the navigation role obviously is for navigation. You can use it more than once on a page. And then there's a role for search, which also can be used more than once on a page. Now, if you're using something more than one time on a page, for example, if you have more than one navigation role on a page, there are some other ARIA ways of indicating information. There's one called ARIA Label. It's not a landmark role. And we'll look at that a little bit later on, where you can add some information to, say, where you have a global navigation section and a secondary navigation section, or a particular product-specific set of links, and you can use ARIA to help you label those things and provide more information other than the simple fact that they are navigation. And we'll get to that in a little bit. I'll talk about how to do that a little bit later. Well, those are the landmark roles, and I want to talk about them again. But for a moment, I want to step away from the landmark roles and look at some of the other kinds of roles that are in the ARIA specification. There are dozens and dozens of them. And I wanted to point out a couple of things about some of them. Sometimes the ARIA roles override native HTML semantics. And I have an example here of an H1 that's been assigned the role of button. And then there's some text written in the H1. If you look at the accessibility tree, which would roughly translate to what we used to call the DOM, it's each element that's on a page, where it fits onto the page. If you look at that H1 with the role of button in the DOM or the accessibility tree, it becomes a button rather than an H1. So the native HTML semantics of the H1 are overridden by the ARIA role, which is not necessarily a good thing. It may change the semantics of the HTML, but it doesn't change the function of the HTML. So for example, if I had a button element with the role of heading, and there was some text there, that still is considered a heading in the document tree. And it can still be pressed because it's a button element. The recommendation I want to make is that when you're looking at other kinds of ARIA roles, in addition to the landmark roles, which don't have this problem, but there are many other roles that do have this problem of overruling the basic semantics of what the HTML element is telling you. So the recommendation is that you should try to maintain the semantics of the HTML on any given element, even if you're trying to use ARIA to create some particular function or to provide some particular information. You want to be careful and make sure that you're not doing anything that's going to change the semantics of the HTML that you're putting on the page. There are some HTML5 elements, if you're using that yet, that are semantic matchups for ARIA roles, and I mentioned a couple of them already. The navigation role is one, the main role is one. There's a header element in HTML5 that can be used many times on a page. You can have a header at the top of your page with your site information in it, but articles and sections on the page can also have headers. But the role for banner can only be used one time to identify the header element that contains your site information. Okay, I wanted to let you see how to find the information for ARIA roles if you're working visually and if you're designing visually in a tool like Dreamweaver or in a browser. So you can find these things if you don't own a screen reader and you're trying to design for people using a screen reader. There is a way to find the ARIA landmark rules in your browser visually. The demonstration that I have here, or the images that I have here, I took using the Web Developer Toolbar, which is an add-on that you can get for Firefox, for Opera, for Chrome. What you're seeing in this image is a bar going across the top of the image that shows some of the Web Developer Toolbar, which says disable, cookies, CSS. Each one of those things is a menu. And pull down under the information menu are some options that are particularly interested in here, and one is display ARIA roles. So behind that, you see where it says web teacher, that's my blog. So I took these images on my blog to show you how the Web Developer Toolbar displays ARIA roles. So again, that's under the information menu in the Web Developer Toolbar. And when you have that selected, the ARIA roles appear on the page as a kind of like a tooltip pops up, and it shows you wherever there's an ARIA role on the page. So this is what the Web Developer Toolbar displays for my blog at the top of the page. In the top area where the header is, you see role equals banner. Then there are some links under that, a navigation section under that, and you see role equals navigation written there. Under that, you see an article. On the left side, you see an article. It says role equals main, and that's where the main section of the blog would begin. And to the right of that, you see a sidebar area with an ad in it, and that's called, the role there is shown as complimentary. And I also took a photo or a screenshot of the bottom of my blog showing the footer. And you see that at the footer is labeled role equals content info, meaning it's the description of the site, the page information. And then there are three little sections in the footer that where I have information that's labeled as role equals complementary. So complementary can get used more than once on a page. It was used for the sidebar where the ad was, and it's used for each of these little sections at the bottom in my footer. But the footer itself is defined as role content info. Okay, this is where we get to the video. The video is going to show you how JAWS announces landmark roles to people who are using JAWS. It's a very short video. It's only 2 minutes long, but it will let you hear what JAWS says to you when you come to a landmark role on a page. Janet, are you going to talk about this, or am I going to?
I will push it out right now, and just a reminder for people that it's going to play on your local default player. So just close the window when it is completed playing. And the closed captioning will still pick up the audio. Thank you.
Just as a reminder, you need to close that multimedia window that opened up with the film in it to come back to viewing the slides. So in the video you saw that it's very easy to navigate from one landmark role to another. In JAWS you use the semicolon key and the landmark is announced to you so you can quickly find navigation or main content, whatever you happen to be looking for. I hope everyone was able to see that. If you weren't, if there's some problem with your computer or system or the way you're set up, that link there on the slide to YouTube should let you watch it with whatever system you have on your own computer at a later time when you might go through this again. Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of how you add the landmark roles to your HTML. It's an attribute with a value that you add to a tag or to an element on a page. And when you're working in a text editor or in a WYSIWYG tool like Dreamweaver, you simply add the role as an attribute to whatever element you want to add it to, and you're done. It's like any other attribute and value that you add to an HTML tag. But in a WYSIWYG tool like Dreamweaver, there's no space for adding it in the, like on the property panel where you would add an ID name or something of that sort. It has to be done in the code view. And if you're using a text editor, of course, you're working in the code anyway and not using the WYSIWYG side of things. And let's look at how you do that. This is an image of a document open in Dreamweaver. On the right side, you see the document view. And you'll notice that it looks like the heading area is selected. It's got a blue line around it and it's selected. If you're familiar with Dreamweaver, you know that that's a selected element. On the left side of the image, there's some code, the code view, and the header area that has been selected in the document is highlighted there. And you see the opening header tag, and then you see the attribute role and equals, and then in quotation marks, the word banner. So it's like any other attribute and value that you add to an HTML element where you put the opening tag and then you put your attribute and your value. The value goes in quotation marks. So if I want that header to have the role banner, all I have to do is go into my code view in Dreamweaver and just simply type role equals banner in that header area. And under that, if you look down in the code view just a little bit, after the end, the closing header tags, there's a few other things in the header besides there's an image and some other things in there, but it's after the closing header tag, you see nav and you see role equals banner. So that's another example of a landmark ARIA role that's been inserted into that nav area that comes immediately under the header. So it's just an attribute and a value that you add to the opening tag of whatever element you think needs to have it added to. Here's a closer look at an example of that. I just kind of blew it up a little bit larger. Basically the same thing we were looking at earlier where you have the opening header tag and then you see role equals banner in quotation marks. And under that you see the opening nav tag and in that element you see role equals navigation. Now, these are HTML5 elements. Header and nav are both new elements in HTML5. So if you're using XHTML or HTML4, you might have divs here or some other element, but that doesn't matter. Whether it's a header element or a div element that you've assigned an ID like header to, the role equals banner is still the same. And also on the navigation area, if you don't have a nav element because you're not using HTML5, you might have your list in a div, or you might even assign role equals navigation to the opening unordered list tag if you don't have the list wrapped up in a div or something. So whatever your tag is that's relevant to the landmark that you want to insert, whether it's an HTML5 element or an HTML4 or an XHTML element, you put your role in that opening tag. Here's another example. This one's using a div. It shows div, and then it has a class assigned to it. And after the class attribute, you see the role equals main is assigned. So it's very simple, an attribute and a value, something that you do all the time in HTML. There is now a main element in HTML5. So this, instead of a div, this might be a main element here. So it might be main class equals content role equals main. But as I said, it's not so much that the element that you attach the role to that matters, it's that the role is attached to the content that you want to have the landmark designate. Here's an example of how you add the complementary role to a page. And the particular element here in the example is an aside. So the tag is aside, and then role equals complementary, with complementary in quotation marks. Oftentimes you see a div with an ID as a sidebar or something if you're not using HTML5, and that would be probably the kind of thing you would want to assign the role complementary to. And you might use complementary more than once on a page. Oops, click twice. Here's an example in the footer where you just add role equals content info to the footer tag, to the opening footer tag. Or if it was a div, you know, with an ID of footer, you could add role equals content info to the opening div tag. A search landmark, typically you want to put it on whatever elements containing the entire search form. So if your form tag is what's holding your whole search, your search application, then you would put the role equals search in the form tag. If you had the form enclosed in a div or some kind of a wrapper like that, you might put role equals search on the container element for the form, whatever is holding the entire form. Okay, that covers the way you take care of it in a tool like Dreamweaver or in a text editor that you might be using if you're typing your HTML code in a text editor. Maybe I should let you ask questions about any of that. Let me go back one. Before I start talking about WordPress, are there any questions about the attribute and value and how you add it to whatever element you're trying to create a landmark for.
Virginia, I'm not sure if you're seeing it. There are a couple questions, and people, you could type your questions now if you have questions on this section. Marcy asks, is there such a thing as a screen reader emulator so I can see how this works on a screen reader?
I don't know about emulators. There are some free ones that you can download and try, like the NVDA is a free screen reader. It's an Australian-made product that's free to download. And I did at the beginning there, I noticed people have been joining all along, so maybe at the beginning you didn't see how if you have the web developer toolbar installed in your browser, under the information menu in the web developer toolbar, you can opt to view any ARIA roles that are on a page. So you can check it that way as well.
And there looks to be another question that says, can I add the same role to several HTML elements?
Some you can and some you can't. You cannot use banner more than once. There can only be one banner area at the very top of a page that contains your site identification and your logo and such. And you can only use content info once, probably in a footer, because that's to describe kind of meta information about a page. You can use navigation more than once. You can use complementary more than once. Main, you can only have one main section on a page.
Okay, one more question or a few more questions. Do you have any suggestions for using the search landmark in a tabbed search?
A tab search. I'm not sure what that question means.
Okay, we'll be sure to follow up on that during the question and answer and as we proceed. Another question from Adam. You showed some of the roles outside the element, and the last example you showed the role inside the element. So there's a question on, I guess, why the difference.
The role has to be inside the element. If you're putting any element on a page, whatever tag you're using to create that element on the page, whether it's a div or a header element or an unordered list or a nav element, the role designation has to be in that tag as an attribute and a value. So if you look at the image on the screen right now where it shows a form tag, an opening form tag to begin creating a form, you see role equals search in that form tag. So the role has to be in the element where you want the ARIA landmark to appear.
Okay. There was a question that, what is the distinction between content info and main?
Content info is information about your page, the kind of thing you see in a footer, like privacy information and maybe a contact link, copyright information. If you think of what you see in footer elements on page, that's content info. And main is, main content, the subject or the topic of your entire page. So if you're thinking of, say a blog, the main content would be your blog posts. If you had a newspaper website, the main content would be the various newspaper articles.
Okay. Would content info contain both main and complementary landmarks?
You wouldn't want to put main landmarks in a content info area because that would be like putting all your main content in the footer of the page, which would makes no semantic there's no semantic logic to that. So content info is for information that describes your page, like how to contact the webmaster, what the copyright is on the page, and that kind of thing. Where main is the main content of the page.
Okay, I think that helps clarify that the difference with those. Paul asks, does ARIA work with Zoom Text Screen Reader?
I don't know the answer to that, I'm sorry.
It looks like there was a question on the developer toolbar, but it's been found. And a question from Susan, when do you draw the link on the amount of ARIA? It seems it would be too easy to bombard. What if the form is a div labeled form? You have an error message using ARIA to associate, and someone, I'm not sure what that means, displays in the title attributes.
Well, if you're using a title attribute to provide additional information, for example, if you use a title attribute to create a tooltip that says something like search on a form for search, you're kind of doing the same thing twice. Screen readers do read title attribute information out loud, I believe. But the landmark roles have very specific functions in helping you navigate around the page. They help you find the banner. They help you find the navigation. They help you find the main content. They help you find complementary information. If you care about that, you might just want the main content. And they help you find information about the site in the footer if you are looking for that. Are we ready to go on and talk about WordPress? Okay, I'll take that as a yes.
we'll go on with the presentation and we'll take another section break to discuss the questions.
Okay. Well, if you're using a modern WordPress theme, it should have the ARIA roles built in. The developer should have done that just automatically. It's easy to check when you're looking at WordPress themes, trying to pick out one you want, because the WordPress themes usually have sample pages where you can see what the theme is going to look like when you use it. And if you've got the web developer toolbar installed in your browser, you can just go to that information menu and pull down to look for ARIA roles and see if the theme that you're thinking about using has the ARIA roles. If you have an older theme that you really want to use and it doesn't have the ARIA roles in it, you can add them easily using a child theme. And those of you who are WordPress users probably know what a child theme is. WordPress encourages you to use child themes in order to make modifications to your parent theme. Most of the time, all you put in the folder for a child theme is a style.css file. Now, the way child themes work is you create a directory in your themes folder in your WordPress installation to hold the child theme. And in that folder, normally, all you put is the style.css file. That's the only thing that's required to make a child theme. And then that CSS file contains whatever CSS rules you want to change about your parenting. And that in that directory, you usually create the directory name with, you know, the name of your theme and then hyphen child after it. But you can put more than style.css file in a child theme folder. I have an image here of a theme I use called Oxygen. And I created a child theme folder for Oxygen. All I really have to have in it is style.css. But the Oxygen theme did not have ARIA roles in where I wanted them to be. So I have added a footer, the footer PHP file, the header PHP file, and then the sidebar secondary PHP file to my child theme. And I'll show you what I did to those. But I just want to make the point that you can put other things in your child theme folder besides the CSS file. Now, there's a save icon and there's a functions PHP you see in this image. Those two don't have anything to do with modifying the theme to add ARIA roles. So the files that do have something to do with what I'm going to show you where I added the ARIA roles are the footer PHP, the header PHP, and the sidebar secondary PHP. And when those files are in your child theme, they overrule whatever is in the footer or the header or the sidebar files of the parent theme. It cascades kind of like a style sheet does, where you have a header PHP file in your parent theme, but when you save it with changes in the child theme, what you have saved in the child theme is what gets displayed on the page. So let's start with header PHP. I opened up my header PHP file out of my WordPress installation, and I saved a copy of it in the child theme folder. And then I went through it in the child theme folder and found the tag that created the header, which in this theme, it's a div. So I found the div ID equals header. I don't know much about PHP, but I do know HTML, and I recognize that that div is the div that's creating my header. And I just added role equals banner. So I added the ARIA role into that div tag that creates the header for the theme. And it was, you know, in the header PHP file, which makes sense. If you know how WordPress is put together, made in bits and pieces, and it's all pulled together when it's put on the page. So the header PHP file is where you would find the header, and that's where you would want to assign role equals banner. Then I found the footer PHP file, which is where the footer is created in WordPress. I found the tag that creates the footer. In this case, it's the div tag. You see div ID equals footer. And you can see where I added role equals content info to that div tag. And that added the ARIA role that I wanted to have in my footer. And in the sidebar PHP file, which I don't show you the code from that, I just went found the opening tag for that sidebar, which was a div in this particular theme, and added role equals complementary. So with those files saved in my child theme, I now have a modern WordPress theme with ARIA roles in it that has the appearance I wanted. And it also has the accessibility function that I wanted, but that wasn't there because it was a little bit older theme. Any questions about how you go about doing this in WordPress? And other content management systems, like, say, Blogspot or Drupal, you know, I don't know how you get into the code in those. I'm sure it's possible, but let's just, I know that you can, if you can get into the HTML at all in Drupal or in Blogspot or in any other content management system that you might be using, and all you have to do is find the right tag and put that role equals whatever landmark it is that you want to add, and save it, and you're good to go. Any questions about application or banner or complimentary or content info or form or main or navigation or search? Okay. Don't see any questions coming in right off there, so I just want to, that kind of takes care of the landmark roles. There are a few other ARIA tools that might be useful as to a front-end developer. There are dozens and dozens of ARIA roles, but I did want to mention a couple. Now, these are not landmark roles that I'm about to start talking about. So it's a whole other different thing. There's an ARIA required, which you can put in form input fields. The way it's written is ARIA hyphen required equals, and then true in quotation marks. So it's on my slide, I'm seeing a curly quotation mark after true, and that's because this was typed in PowerPoint and not in HTML, not in a text editor, so you shouldn't use a curly quote there. So if you do something like copy and paste out of this slideshow into a text editor, remember that that quotation mark there should be the straight quotes that you use in HTML, not the curly quote like you get in Word or something. So anyway, if you have a required input field in a form, you can put ARIA hyphen required equals true in that input element, and it will announce to a user that it's a required field. Now, the example shown here shows a label. It says label for username, and then you have the input type with the ID username, so the label is associated with the text input field, which is an accessibility habit practice that I'm sure you're familiar with. And then you see after the ID, you see ARIA required equals true. And then after that, there's an asterisk, which makes me think that the person who wrote this form has informed people that if a field, an input field, is marked by an asterisk, it's going to be a required field. So there's probably some text on the page somewhere that mentions that. I personally would put the asterisk in the label right after username colon, and I'd put an asterisk, but that's, a screen reader is going to read that asterisk out loud to you, so you would know it was there, whether it was in the label or not. But the ARIA required true is announced to anyone using assistive technology. Now, ARIA required equals true is not the same as the new HTML5 required element. So there's a new element in HTML5 that works in the browser that requires a person to enter some data into a field if it's marked required before the browser will let it submit. and that takes the place of some of the JavaScript or whatever scripting language you're using that we've used in the past to let people know when they fail to fill in a required field. That's not the same thing as the ARIA required equals true. So if you're using HTML5 to create a form, you would want to use the HTML5 required attribute, which is just put into the element as required. And you would also want to use the ARIA required equals true, which works in assistive devices. So they do two different jobs. It looks repetitious, it looks redundant, but it isn't, because the required element is the message to the browser not to submit without that form field filled in, and the ARIA required equals true is the message that is given to someone using an assistive device. So the way that would look in your tags is you would have your input type and your ID matching the label, the for element in your, the for attribute in your label. And then you would put required, the HTML5 required. And after that, you would put ARIA required equals true. Then there's another ARIA element called ARIA label. And it provides a label that can be read by assistive technology. Now, we were talking about title attributes a little bit ago. Somebody asked a question about title attributes. An ARIA label acts a little bit like a title attribute. It provides a text label for an object. So it might provide a text label for an object such as a button. And when the screen reader encounters whatever the object is, the ARIA label text is read. Now, where that might be useful is in an example where you have more than one navigation role on a page. So I show here a nav element with the role navigation, and the ARIA label is primary. Now, you're making up the word that goes inside the quotation marks here for the ARIA label. You write the text there. It's like an alt attribute where you're creating the text that goes in there. So you don't have to use primary. You might say global, or you might say main, or just whatever words make sense for the object that you're labeling is what gets put in the quotation marks for ARIA label. And then you see another navigation element with the role navigation assigned to it. And there you see ARIA label equals secondary. And again, I'm seeing curly quotation marks here. Just want to remind you, if you're copying and pasting out of this presentation into an HTML text editor, that you need to fix those quotation marks so you have the straight quotes that you need in HTML. So use any text or phrase you need in an ARIA label. You can do the same thing with a title attribute. And if you already are using title attributes to provide additional information about links and other things, then I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't switch to this, because the other thing is proven and works quite well. There's an ARIA. The best time to use ARIA label is when there's no way to attach other information with a title attribute or any other way to label something. For example, the red X up in the corner of a window that you want to use to close the window. Things like that, where there's no other logical way to do something with HTML that gives that additional little bit of information that a label would help explain an object with. What you don't want to do is try to overrule the native HTML that certain elements have by attaching labels to them. If HTML already has a semantic way to do something, then don't add the ARIA label or other types of ARIA to it just because it's possible. It's when there is no HTML semantic way to do something that you want to think about that. The ARIA label attribute in an element is going to override any native HTML thing you may have going on. For example, if you have an alt attribute on an image, which presumably you're putting alt attributes on your images, if you add an ARIA label element to that, it's going to override whatever the alt attribute information is. So you don't want to do that. You've already got this perfectly good alt attribute that can provide information about an image. So you want to just use that and not override that with something like ARIA label. ARIA labeled by is another ARIA tool that front-end developers may want to use. And it connects something to something else on the page. It connects a link or a heading or some item on a page to some text that's related to it. An example I show you here is a headline, an H2 that's been given an ID of headline. And then a paragraph later on is associated with that headline or that H2 with ARIA labeled by. Now, if the structure of your page is sensible and if your heading is right above your paragraph, it's obvious that your paragraph is talking about whatever the heading above it is. But there might be cases where you need to do something like this to associate one bit of text with something else, a heading or an image or something on the page, and ARIA labeled by does that. So you connect these two things with an ID, and then the ARIA labeled by equals quote whatever the ID was. It can label all kinds of visual objects. So you could use it for form labels, but again, if you're using it for form labels, you're overriding the native HTML label elements. It can be used on an image, but it puts whatever you're saying about the image in plain text on the page. It's not like an alt attribute, because whatever the labeled by, ARIA labeled by text has to be on the page. So if you have an image and you want to talk about that image on the page, you could use ARIA labeled by equals, and then in the quotation marks you would put an ID to reference that image, and you could explain that image. Let me talk a little bit more about ARIA labeled by. Here's another example where you see sort of a semantic nightmare here, where an H1 inside of a paragraph, but the H1's been given an ID tag, and ARIA labeled by is connecting those two elements. Then there's an ARIA described by, and it can be applied to an image to provide a long description, which sounds like it's a substitute for the long description, the long disk. attribute in HTML, and it's not a good substitute for that. There are several reasons why. For one reason, if you do have a long description attached to an image, it's not visible on the page. It's off somewhere else, and it can be referenced by a whole lot of images. If you use the image more than once, they can all reference that same long description. Where if you have ARIA described by as providing a description of some image, that has to be visible on the page. And the example I show you here is a person with an image of scuba gear, and it says ARIA described by equals, and it matches up to an ID of a full description of the scuba gear. So it's not a good replacement for the long description attribute, and it requires because it requires particular information to be on the page. But it can provide a good way to match a description to an object like an image if you want the description to be on the page. It can associate the image with the description in that way. Okay, let's see if we have any questions now. I see one here, how will screen readers read? Whoop, it went down, I can't see it anymore. How will screen readers read the relationship between the headline and the ARIA labeled by? It associates one thing with the other, so it announces that you know, one thing is related to the other when it reads it out. There's a way to do something like this in complicated tables using headers and IDs to identify where something is in a row and a column on the table by associating it with a row header and a column header using IDs. If you've ever done that, you might get a sense of how this associates one piece of content with another piece of content to help people who aren't looking at it visually figure out what goes with what. Janet, do you see any questions that I haven't looked at?
I don't see any further questions. Let's give people a second to type them in. Oh, here's one. Will ARIA be required in updated W3C standards, or will it be only recommended?
It's not quite a recommendation yet, but it will be a recommendation at some point. I can't give you a year on that, but it's coming. And people are using it more and more as a regular practice, as a best practice, especially the landmark roles. Now, some of the things that I have mentioned to you that are not landmark roles, I wouldn't say rush out and start using them as a best practice. Yes, do use the landmark roles. Do use the landmark roles. But some of the other things I've talked to you today, like ARIA labels by, are needed in specific situations because they can override the native semantics of what you got in HTML. There's a nice table on the W3C site that tells you when you should use ARIA and when you should use native HTML. And if you want to search for that table, it's a huge table. It has all the ARIA things in it, and it tells you whether to use that or whether to use HTML. If you search for using WAI ARIA in HTML, you'll find that table. And let me repeat again what you search for if you want to look for that table on the W3C site. Search for using WAI ARIA in HTML.
Okay, it looks like there's another question. Are image descriptions that you just talked about like old-fashioned photo captions that might appear under an image in italics, identify the subject of the image? Might they also be used for providing product specifications below an image of a product?
It's not the same thing that you're describing. You're talking more about figure captions or if you created an image object and under it you put a description of that image in text, I guess you could use ARIA labeled by for it. If for some reason you can't use like a figure caption or some other element in HTML that would do the job, then you could consider using ARIA labeled by for that, yes.
Okay. It looks like there's a question here from Daniel. Can you please discuss more about when to use the role application?
You know, I couldn't find a lot of examples of applications. I looked for sites that had examples of it, and I couldn't find very many people using it. And I think that's my interpretation of it after I found a few places that did use it, was that so far it's not very clear what exactly we're defining as application is. And to my way of thinking, I would like to see the W3C come out with better descriptions or better examples of when and how to use that role. If you have a widget that operates completely outside of the normal flow of the document, of what you have in the HTML, then you might label that an application. I would be careful labeling anything in application currently because it changes the browsing mode of the screen reader from the way the page is normally read to a different mode for applications. So I would be really sure that what I was using was an application. One of the sites where I saw that role used, they had some buttons that led off to a page where you could do something like register for a conference. And they had labeled those buttons as applications. I was not entirely convinced that that was a good use of the application role. So I have yet to find great examples of anybody using the application role. And the examples from your W3C were not very elucidating. So I would kind of take a slow attitude toward that one. The other landmark roles are ready to rock and roll, they're ready to use, the browsers implement them, but that one I would kind of hold back on it.
Okay. Richard asks, do you know of a good before and after example of HTML file that has had ARIA added to it?
Well, I can't give you an example where I've seen it, where there's a before and after. There's a nice before and after website on the W3C site, but it deals with all kinds of accessibility questions, and it's not necessarily dealing with ARIA. If there is such a thing, I'd love to know about it, but I have not seen. I have not seen anything like that.
So
Sounds like a nice thing to create.
Yeah,
you should make one.
Beth asks, okay, and it's a long question. So I had a question earlier about tabbed research. I am referring to a type of search that a lot of libraries use within a single page. There will be a section containing several tabs. Each tab contains a different search. The example, search the library catalog, search for a database, search for an e-journal. Would it be appropriate to add a form role to each tab?
If it contains a form, I don't see why not. If you have a form and you want to add some information, if you have a form role and you want to add some information to that role about what you're searching, what the tab is intended to search, you could add a title attribute that might say, you know, search a database or search a, I forget what your other options were, but you could add some information to help clarify so people would know exactly what they were trying to search by using each tab.
Okay, I think I've hit all the questions. I'll give people just a few more seconds here to write any additional questions. Here's a question from Daniel. Do you know any more details about the role widget?
No, I don't know a lot about the role widget because that's something a programmer or an app developer would be using, and I concentrate more on the front end kind of thing. I don't do the programming, so there's a lot of information about the programming side of things on the W3C site. But I wanted to concentrate on the front end side of it today.
Okay. Any final questions? Okay. I think we will wrap it up. Just so you know, you may send questions to the Great Lakes ADA Center, and we will work with Virginia and other specialists to make sure that your questions get answered. We appreciate your attention. I invite you to join us for our next session, which is on May 22nd, and it is on web accessibility analytics and open source tools to inspect and audit web resources for accessibility. This session was recorded and will be in the archives on the Accessible Technology webinar series archive site. And you will be receiving an email with an evaluation. Please do take the time to evaluate the session. We listen very closely to your feedback and take your ideas for future sites. We will also distribute the PDF slides with live links. So the slides from this session will have the live links that Virginia has in her PowerPoint handouts. And I think that concludes the session. Thank you for your attention, and we'll see you at the next Accessible Technology webinar.
Thanks, everyone.